The Fearless Podcast, in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act.
Today, I want to talk about something you almost never hear anymore. And you're going to think this is funny, but hear me out. Home economics. Not the class with the sewing machines and burnt cookies. The real thing. The ancient thing. Because here's the truth. There is no economics left in home economics. And that wasn't by an accident. It was a strategy. Home economics used to be the center of civilization. Now it's a punchline. But if you want to understand decentralization, if you want to understand why homes feel hollow, why families feel unstable, why society seems confused, then you have to understand what we lost when we lost the household economy. So today we're going to dive deep history, scripture, culture, gender, economics, and decentralization, all through the lens of the home. Let's start at the beginning. The word economics, it comes from two Greek words, oikos, or household, and nomos, which is the management or law. Economics literally means household management. The family was the first business, the first school, the first government, the first hospital, the first supply chain, the first apprenticeship program. The household wasn't a place you came home to after work. The household was the work. Women weren't stay-at-home moms. They were executive managers of the most important enterprise on earth. Men weren't providers in the modern sense. They were co-laborers in a productive unit. Children weren't financial burdens. They were apprentices. Everything was integrated. Everything was local. Everything was decentralized. The modern world didn't just lose that. It destroyed it. We were talking a couple shows ago about World War II and real history. And if you don't understand history, you're destined to repeat it. People think World War II was just a military conflict. But culturally, economically, it was the biggest social engineering project in modern history. Men were shipped off. Women were conscripted into factories. The federal government ran propaganda campaigns urging women to leave the home. Rosie the Riveter wasn't empowerment, it was mobilization. When the war ended, the government didn't say, "Okay, ladies, great work. Now go home and rebuild the household economy. Nope. Corporations wanted the labor. The government wanted the taxes. The schools wanted the children. And the home was transformed forever. Two-income households became the default. Children became wards of the state. Homes shifted from productive to purely consumptive. This was not a natural evolution. It was the centralization of America's most ancient institution, the home. Next, let's talk ideology. Modern egalitarianism says men and women are interchangeable. Modern complementarianism says men and women are different, but then treats those differences as symbolic, not functional. Both systems sever gender from economics. Both remove men and women from their biblical place in the household. Complementarianism today, it's egalitarianism wearing a cardigan. It's soft. It's reactive. It treats gender like a theological footnote instead of a blueprint for civilizational structure. But Scripture gives us something far more grounded and practical. Whenever you talk about biblical household order, somebody always says, well, what about Deborah? She was a judge. Yes, she was. But let's actually read the story. Deborah was not a blueprint. She was a rebuke. She judged Israel because the men wouldn't. Barak literally refused to obey God unless she held his hand. This wasn't empowerment. It was humiliation for the men of Israel. And Scripture explains this dynamically clear. Isaiah 3:12, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Women ruling in the civil sphere is listed as a curse, not a design. It's what happens when men abdicate their role. And you see this repeating today. Conservatives who are supposed to stand for traditional order are rolling out their own version of this judgment. Right now, the alt-right MAGA is pushing Marjorie Taylor Greene for president in 2026. And she uses her maiden name, and it's great. She's so empowered. Like she's some kind of national savior. That's not restoration. That's Isaiah 3 happening in real time. And I can hear the shriek right now, but truth is incontrovertible. A culture where women must take leadership is a culture where men have vanished. Now we get to the fun part. Modern gender confusion. People ask, what is a woman? But honestly, I ask, how would they know? For the past 70 years, the economy has told women, you're only valuable if you leave the home. So, a man is a worker. A woman is a worker. Children are obstacles to work. The household becomes a hotel. And then we act in shock when the entire culture loses the ability to define what a man or woman even is. You hollow out the household long enough, and eventually you hollow out identity itself. Let's go back to the origin. It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. Help meet is often misunderstood. In Hebrew, it's Ezer Kenegdo, or a strong corresponding ally, the other half of a functional unit. This is not emotional support. This is not cheerleading. This is economic completion, not competition. When the woman manages the home economy, the man leads, protects, and provides for that economy. You get a powerful, decentralized system that produces children, food, education, faith, stability, wealth, culture, and legacy. When you abandon this design, everything falls apart. Let's be honest. Conservatives can serve absolutely nothing. They don't build institutions. They don't build parallel economies. They don't build family structures. They don't even build communities. They just shift the Overton window like a goalie in a foosball game, reacting, blocking, and never advancing. Instead of rebuilding the household economy, they chase elections, scandals, and headlines. But political conservatism without household reconstruction is just noise. So here's the big idea. If you want decentralization, if you want sovereignty, if you want freedom, you don't start in Washington. You don't start with the Federal Reserve. You don't start with political parties. You start with your house. The home is the original decentralized system. It's the most powerful engine of independence ever created or designed. Let's break it down. Food decentralization. Grow something. Cook from scratch. Stop outsourcing your family's nutrition to monolithic megacorporations. Energy decentralization. Solar. Small-scale solar. Wood heat. Local infrastructure. Anything that reduces dependence on centralized grids. Education decentralization. Homeschooling. Apprenticeship. Family discipleship instead of state indoctrination. Financial decentralization. Family businesses. Side enterprises. Private family banking. Work that keeps income inside the household, not shipped off to corporate headquarters. Gender decentralization. Reject the corporate state idea that men and women belong to the workforce. They belong to the household team. Rebuild the home, and you rebuild everything. Identity, family, culture, freedom, faith, all of it. Home economics isn't a class. It isn't nostalgia. It isn't a lifestyle trend. It is the practical application of decentralization. It is the backbone of civilization. It is the antidote for globalism, centralization, confusion, and decay. If you want a different world, we don't need a new president. We don't need a new movement. We don't need a new political messiah. We need households, real ones, biblical ones, productive ones. Decentralized ones. The home is not part of the economy. The home is the economy. And rebuilding it is the most radical counterculture act you can do today. This week is my 50th birthday. So I've experienced a half a century of this thing we call life. And everything. And I got this cool t-shirt. See my cool t-shirt. And everything I just said is absolutely true. And this has been our goal and our dream to live a slower, more intentional life outside of the modern paradigm and the modern concept of infrastructure that has been co-opted by the transnational megacorporations, the central planners, and the banking cartel. Those that they call they, them, and those. This is the solution. It's the most practical thing that you can do. And as a man, other than God's grace, goodness, and mercy, the only way we have been able to achieve all that we have with our home and businesses and raising and rearing and training our children would have been impossible without the help of my wonderful and beautiful wife. And we were able to achieve so much more by not being in competition, but by fulfilling our God-given roles. We have been able to achieve exceeding abundantly more than we could ask or even think. And this is the thought I want to leave with y'all today. I can't believe I'm 50 years old. It's pretty surreal. It's kind of wild. Life continues to happen faster and faster. The days get shorter. The decades get shorter. But every day we are building. Every day we are rejecting the modern paradigm in this postmodern deconstructed world. We are observing the masses and doing the opposite. I hope this gets you thinking today. Let's discuss it down below. And since we are discussing decentralization and parallel solutions, I want to point you all to CrowdHealth. You can use the link down below. Check out CrowdHealth if you're looking for healthcare solutions that aren't going to hijack you. Premiums continue to go up. And we need parallel solutions to real-world problems, and CrowdHealth provides that. You'll see a link below with a referral code that gives you a really awesome deal. We've been using CrowdHealth probably for about a year now. And awesome people doing great work. And we're excited to share that with you. So check it out down below. And let's talk about this. Give me your feedback, thoughts down below. If you're listening to the podcast, listen on the Fountain app. It's a great way to communicate and correspond. You can comment. We can interact below the podcast there. It's a really cool platform. But hope you all have a blessed day. I'm going to have an awesome weekend with my family. We went to a drive-through safari with the littles today, and it was a blast. And I think they're buying me like a Corvette or something. I don't know. I don't need no stinking Corvette. All right, y'all. Have a blessed day. We'll see you on the next one.